In today's episode of Backpacker Radio, we chat with Mike Kickstan Papadatos, who is fresh off his calendar triple. We learn all about the intimate details of this crazy 8,000-mile trek and how he was able to achieve this rare feat despite not having any prior backpacking experience. That is insane. We also have some trek propaganda as well as a triple crown of hangover remedies. But first, I want to give a shout out to today's first sponsor, which is Gossamer Gear. Gossamer Gear makes lightweight backpacking achievable at an affordable price. Their packs carry comfortably, their roomy shelters protect in harsh weather conditions, and the trekking poles are some of the lightest on the planet. Gossamer Gear is changing the perception of delicate ultralight gear. Chance and I are both very familiar with Gossamer Gear's products. I used the Gorilla, their 40-liter pack, on the PCT last year, which I loved. The Gorilla is a comfortable, thoughtfully designed, affordable pack. Chance used Gossamer Gear's The One shelter. As she says, it's the one you need. It's also a very spacious one-person tent that weighs only 21.6 ounces. They've since released The Two, which is a two-person version of this very popular tent. And lucky you, listeners of this podcast can score an exclusive deal on Gossamer Gear products until the end of this year. Use discount code TREK15 for 15% off your cart at gossamergear.com. And of course, we want to give a shout out to Sawyer Products. We've talked about it a lot already, but not enough. Of course, I refer to the MicroSqueeze, which comes in at a full ounce lighter and about two-thirds the size of Sawyer's uber-popular squeeze filter. It utilizes the same hollow fiber membrane technology, which is 75% stronger than other fibers on the market. The filter also features an improved 1-liter pouch design, which is both quieter and lighter. It can be used with standard 28mm bottles, yes, your smart water bottles, and the aforementioned 1-liter pouch. Best of all, this thing features a higher flow rate than similarly sized filters on the market, and it's darn close to the regular squeeze's flow rate. The MicroSqueeze is good for up to 100 gallons of water, which, needless to say, you'll probably lose it before the warranty's expiration. If you want a closer look at this new filter, head to the Trek's YouTube page, where we've put together a video comparing this filter to the traditional Sawyer Squeeze, which will, of course, be available in the show notes. Okay, to the show. Backpacker Radio episode number 24. I am your host, Zach Badger Davis.
Co-host,
technically speaking.
You usually say, and to my right.
Oh, and to my right is?
Hi, I'm Juliana Chauncey, aka Chance.
Hey, Chance, how you doing?
I'm fine.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
I physically coerce the real answer out of you. Okay. Well, maybe when she warms up in a couple minutes. We should touch upon the fact that wonderful song that our listeners just heard. We got to party with those guys. Relatively speaking, we partied. They were just there.
We partied at them.
Yeah, we partied in their face at them. And by them, I mean a wonderful band called Animal Years.
Yes.
They played here in Denver a couple nights ago. And the connection there is, it's a fun story. I actually hiked with the lead singer's older brother.
Yeah.
Trail name Road Dog, AT 2011 drink. Hilarious guy. I probably hiked with him for, Puma's here in the background, also drinking in honor of that. Probably hiked with him for 1,200 miles. So I met Mike out on the trail because he picked us up in Daleville and gave us a ride down to Damascus. This is all relevant to you now, our guest, who will be introduced in a second. And I asked him when we were hanging out, you were there for this. I'm like, just level with me. How bad did we smell? He's like, you know, I'm in a band. Like, I know smelly dudes. You guys were next level. You were really bad. It was really bad. And I have since had many friends that I stayed with on that first through hike tell me just how stinky I was. The AT is a different beast. It's different than the PCT in terms of stink.
You're like normally a smelly person. So
I'm a smelly guy. It is true. Every time I come back from the gym, my wife is like, go get in the shower, God. So I don't know. Maybe a new trail name is an order, body order of some sort.
Stinky man.
Yeah. Well, so what was your take? How did you enjoy Animal Years?
Oh, it was so good. They saved Walking Slow for the last song, though, because they saw us, and I think they did it to fuck with us, and it was so funny.
Oh, certainly. As soon as they started to do the drum beat, they're like, you've been waiting for this the entire time. You're finally getting what you came for, and pointed at me.
It's a good song.
It was funny, because every time they started a song, I was like pushing Zach. I was like, this could be it, and it wasn't it until the last one.
Our theme music.
Yeah. There's a point during the show where Chance looked over and I was pointing at the band. Chance is like, you're pathetic. Just stop pointing at them. They probably know that you're here. The context that she missed was that he had pointed at me first.
Yeah, I didn't look when he pointed at Zach, and I just saw Zach pointing at him, and I was like, you're being ridiculous. Please stop. You're embarrassing me.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. You guys should definitely check out Animal Years on Spotify. They're great. And Mike McFadden is their lead singer, and he's a wonderfully talented dude. A little bit of house cleaning here before we get into our interview. By the time you guys hear this, definitely the 2019 Trail Correspondence application will be out into the wild. So if you're through hiking the trail next year, and by the trail, I mean any of the Triple Crown trails or really any long trail, I think we're going to spice it up a little bit for next year. So
I'll have to fill out my application.
There you go. Are you making it official now?
I mean, it's more likely than it was last week.
Okay, we're about to get into it. We're going. Why is that?
I'm single.
Okay, so it's out into the wild. I wasn't sure if this is something, a bridge that you wanted to cross.
That's fine, we can cross it.
Okay, I'm not going to push the envelope.
He's just not the person I thought he was.
Yeah, okay, so Chance is single. Don't be creepy to Chance in her direct messages.
Slide in the DMs.
But, yeah. No, yeah, I was kind of considering not hiking next year because I was like, oh, like it'll put like a huge strain on the relationship. And now I don't have to worry about that. Yeah. So maybe it'll happen.
You're free as a bird.
AT 2019.
Yes. I should be wearing the America outfit, not you. Zach's wearing spandex right now with an America flag across them.
Women's leggings. Thank you very much. They're my wife's.
I am also wearing women's leggings.
Are you?
I am.
It's weird that I'm the only woman here and I'm the only one not wearing women's leggings.
Get with the times, Johns. It's the cool thing to do.
Step it up.
Yeah.
They just fit way better.
Yeah. They do. They feel great. I feel like my natural self.
I feel like a women's medium like fits me kind of perfect.
That's weird. I feel uncomfortable.
But let's get right into the part that everyone's here for, is our interview with Mike Papadatos.
Hey.
Is that it?
That's good.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. First and foremost, I don't know. Do you have a trail name?
Yeah, Kickstand.
Kickstand. Mm. Okay, yeah. That's right. I think Puma said that earlier. How did you get that trail name? Is it appropriate?
Yeah, it's appropriate.
Because there are contexts where Kickstand might not be.
Yeah, no, for sure. And a lot of people have been asking me if I gave it to myself, and I'm like, no, I wish I could claim that. But
only losers do that, Zach Davis.
I cannot.
It's true. How dare you? You're calling out Anish. You're calling out Jenfar Davis.
Uh-oh. I just mean it towards you.
Okay.
I don't mean it towards
just
everyone.
For me. Okay.
Just you.
Fair enough.
That's why I put Zach Davis at the end.
I got it on the Continental Divide Trail outside of Pytown. I was demonstrating the usefulness of what a trekking pole can do to mimic the feeling of sitting on a toilet. And three hikers came up on me as I was finishing up and they looked at me. There's not many trees or much tree cover in the desert.
Yeah.
So yeah, they saw me taking a shit resting on a trekking pole. And then forever it was just like, your Kickstand?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's better. Someone tried to give me another trail name on the AT, which I couldn't tell my mom what it was. It was Raw Dog. And I was like, no, that can't be it. Nope. I was like, I can't have a conversation with my family if that's the trail name. So.
Yeah. Can you give the context as to why Raw Dog was the first nominee?
You can't guess.
I also wish that was for the reason that everyone thought it was.
Yeah.
But no, I ran out of food coming down from the Priest before I hit Waynesboro, I guess. And all I had left was dry ramen. So you just put a little salt on it like a chip. And I told the story to a girl. And next thing you know, she was like, oh, that's your raw dog. And I was like, no, I am not the raw dog.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of lucked out because I had a friend that got caught taking a shit on the PCT and her trail name became County Dump.
Yeah.
So ending up with Kickstand is
it could be worse.
You lucked out with that one.
And the fact that she allowed that to happen is amazing.
Well, she didn't. We just forced it.
Yeah. Once
she didn't want it.
It'd be tough to take that one away if you got a really good gold like that.
You're
County Dump.
Yeah. I do want to backtrack a little bit because you talked poop, which is our favorite subject on the show. I'm having trouble picturing, and you don't have to draw us an image, but maybe give me a little bit better idea. So you're using the trekking pole.
Single trekking pole.
Yeah.
Sitting down like you would squat normally to use the washroom, but lean back a little bit. You get decent little bit of leverage, not as hard on the knees.
I like that.
Okay. You get a little bit of torque.
Yeah.
Finishes it up real quick.
Right on. We're going to have to add that to the illustration that we talked about.
Yeah, I actually saw that illustration. It was hilarious.
So you just call that the kickstand?
Yeah, okay. That's the kickstand.
Nice. We're going to have to keep growing
using the third piece as leverage.
Yeah.
Usually it would be a tree. I would maybe hang off it. Or
maybe the tripod.
Tripod, yeah.
I like that. I'm curious. It looks like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like I said, I didn't know much about you. I got what I could from your Instagram page. But did you have any backpacking experience before this calendar triple?
I did not.
That's insane.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's that's what most people have been asking me. Usually it's, you know, is this your first thru hike? Or, you know, what have you done before this? Because most people who are going after a calendar triple, at least the people who are doing it this year, definitely have some backpacking experience. But I don't know, jumped in with both feet. It was kind of ignorance is bliss. Maybe if I knew how bad it hurt, it might have been a different story now looking back.
Right. But once you're in it, you're in it.
Once you're in it, you're in it. We were talking about this earlier, how just, you know, there's like certain points, like when you get, and you're just like, all right, well, I've done enough now where I kind of need to keep going. And then you get to the next point, and you're like, all right, keep going. And then eventually you're like, oh, I'm done.
A quick 8 months later.
Yeah.
How did you go from like never backpacking to being like, oh, I'll do the calendar triple? Like, how did you not just be like, oh, I want to do this one hike? And you were like, oh, I want to do all three at once.
For me, like the internet, as you know, like can be a place where you just get sucked down the wormhole. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to take up this random hobby. Like next thing you know, you have an Amazon order for like a miniature boat you ordered or something, like whatever.
Is that
it
a true story? Is that a common problem?
It's like you just start racing boats in the park. But no, this was, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I stumbled on, Cam Honan. He was talking about all the hikes that he's done, and then there was this 12 long walk section where he's talking about how he did a calendar triple at the end of all of these insanely long hiking trips, like to finish off a year of 15,000 miles. And I was like, man, if someone can do that, that's like, as far as a, you know, physical and mental achievement to be able to go through that, like that's got to be one of the hardest things you could ever do. And then in 2016, I guess, I followed Jeff's Legends Free Outside.
Recent trail correspondent.
A recent, I went on his website and I was literally like following his daily blog posts. And I had no experience with hiking a long trail or no knew anything about it, but like an infatuation kind of just like went from a small thing in my head to a big thing in my head. And I was like, oh, like, if he could do it, like he's a young guy, he looks like he's in pretty good shape. Like I think I could do it.
Yeah. Did the fact that he had through hiked previous to that
play
with your head at all?
Absolutely not.
No, that's a good thing. Ignorance is bliss.
You have to make really high miles to be able to do a calendar triple. Like how did you know that you'd be capable of that?
I didn't. So, I mean, I started off same thing as Jeff on the Appalachian Trail, same kind of schedule. I started January 31st of this year. And I actually based my, like, the daily miles that I thought I was going to be able to do based on what his blog posts were showing, which is, like, I think he started, like, 20, like, in the low 20s. I was like, oh, like, 20 miles, that doesn't sound like that long. Like, I've cross-country run before. I've, like, done a bunch of triathlons with my friends, like, longer distance, half Ironman. So I was like, I'm in pretty good shape, like, just regularly. And then I hiked like the first 3 days after like following, you know, where his daily blog posts were. He's like, oh, I got to Hiawassee, Georgia, which is like the first town you hit. It's like before you go up to Neil's Gap. And I was like, okay, I stumbled into Top of Georgia Hotel. Like my whole body was one big, like I was so inflamed, my calves, my Achilles. And I was like, there is no way that this is going to work for me. So yeah, basing the daily mileage off that, and then I realized like a week into it and he was like 100 miles ahead of me. It's like, okay, you kind of just got to hike your own hike at this point. And like the miles started to come back and start coming easier as you get your trail legs, obviously. But yeah, it was a real grind to start. I mean, the learning curve is pretty steep, especially when you haven't done a longer backpacking trip and you're going with a lot of pounds on your back.
Totally.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about your endurance background. You touched on the fact that you had done a half Ironman, which is huge race.
Yeah. I mean, it's that Ironman 70.3 is 1.8 kilometer swim, 100 kilometer bike ride or 96 kilometer bike ride. And then you run a half marathon. So every year me and like five of my friends back home, we basically just have like an annual fitness contest where we just get together. We all train all year, all ride bikes, whatever, run, and we get together, and it's basically just a litmus test of who's the worst one of our friends. So the
person that finishes in last,
exactly,
is dead.
The goal for the group, the goal for us is always like, don't finish last.
Yeah.
So that was always kind of the driving force behind it. I've always been in pretty good shape. I've always run and I cycle a lot at home. So it was, you know, I wasn't like a track star or cross country athlete or anything like that, but I've always kept in pretty good shape and been active.
Yeah. So what were your go-to resources? Like, how do you, it's one thing to prepare for your first thru hike, to prepare for a calendar triple is way more insane. In terms of getting your gear list out, and what kind of resources were you using for that?
Shameless plug, the Trek.
Oh, nice. Your Trek is in the mail.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Your Trek check is in the mail.
I mean, with the internet, you really, it, like I said, with the wormholes, you can really go down and kind of hone the type of gear that people are using that's well reviewed, that seems to be, you know, pretty unanimous on trails. I read, I can't remember who does the yearly surveys on the PCT and the
Halfway Anywhere.
Halfway yeah. Anywhere. Yeah. I went in through those in detail. I kind of saw what was the most popular product.
Yeah.
And then I based like kind of my big purchases for gear off of what I saw, and like I read some reviews, obviously. But it was really a real learning process for me getting my gear, because I started off with way too much. Obviously, you know, anyone on their first thru hike, I had I just didn't feel like bringing... Actually, I did purchase a new backpack before I left. I purchased a Kumo Gossamer Gear, but I was like, as I was packing my stuff up before I left, I was like, there's no way this is all going to fit.
So, yeah, because the Kumo's 36
liters. Yeah. And I mean, there's just not much to it, especially when you're hiking the Appalachian Trail in the winter.
Right.
So I packed everything in there, and I kind of put like a mock 3 days of food in there, and I was like, that's... It's a frameless backpack. Like, that's going to really hurt your back. So what I did is I just socked that away. I put it in my bounce box because I knew eventually, once I dialed my gear in, I was going to be able to move to a smaller pack. So I had a 55-liter Old Mountain Hardware backpack that I'd used for, like, smaller backpacking trips, like 25-mile loops, 50-mile loops, just kind of where I'm from Toronto. Mm-hmm.
It explains there was a couple of boots that he dropped in there. I feel like people probably would have guessed that by now. But yeah,
we should have put a disclaimer. Yeah. Warning.
I am Canadian.
He wore a Canada hat to remind us.
That's it. I'm not wearing all denim, though. So.
No, you're wearing women's leggings.
Lululemon, also a shameless plug.
I plug them all the time.
I started with obviously way too much gear. Like, I had to... just way too much stuff. Like, everyone does their first through. I can slowly, like, way quicker than I thought it was, I started shedding gear and started dialing my pack in. And then basically by the time I got to Duncannon, Pennsylvania, I was like pretty dialed on what I needed to be comfortable. And then I changed to a smaller backpack.
And did that change when you got to the next trail? Like, when you switched from the AT to a different trail, were you like, oh, like, this stuff doesn't really work?
Kind of. Like, I mean, on the AT, I carried two sleeping bags. I carried like a down sleeping bag on the inside, and then I carried a 17 degree synthetic outer bag to kind of protect from the just constant moisture that's always, you know, there. And then when I moved over, I just got rid of the down bag. Like, when I went from the Appalachian Trail to the Continental Divide Trail, you're going basically from the Green Mountain National Forest, where I got off originally, to desert. So it was like I get to shed a ton of weight plus gear. And
out of curiosity, what synthetic bag do you use, because we don't really hear about people using those too often?
I think it was literally just an old sleeping bag that I had. It was just a 17 degree, I think it was a Mountain Hardware bag, which is currently in the hiker box in Stehekin, if anyone needs it.
Go grab it.
I'm curious as to why you ditched the down bag instead of the
synthetic. No, I ditched the synthetic bag. Oh, okay. So I kept the down, my apologies.
Yeah, no worries.
The down was, I need it, the down, because obviously it packs to nothing, and it's like way better than a synthetic bag.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I was curious. I was like, yo, you skipped off the down?
No. I got rid of the synthetic just because you're going to have condensation and moisture in your tent anyway. So I got rid of the synthetic because it weighed 3.5 pounds.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, like, I cowboyed camp most of the whole desert in New Mexico, so. And then obviously on the PCT.
So what date did you start on the AT?
So I started January 31st. I hiked the approach trail on January 30th, and I showed up, and they're like, "You doing a loop?" And I was like, "No, like I'm going for it." They're like, because you go in through Amicalola, you weigh your pack, you sign the register, they give you your Appalachian Trail tag.
Yeah.
Like, did you weigh your pack? I was like, yeah, no, I know it's big. It's not going to be the biggest you'll see this year, but it's pretty big. So I went up and I started on Springer January 31st.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I chatted with Anish about a week ago now, and I think she started her calendar triple on March 1st. And she said that she had atrocious weather on pretty much the entire AT. Did you face that as well?
It was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really too bad between the start until I hit Damascus, and then basically between Central Virginia until I hit Waynesboro. It was, there were some cold, rainy, windy days, but a little bit of snow on the ground. And then as soon as I got to Waynesboro, there was 2 feet of snow in Shenandoah. That was the first big Northeaster of the year that they got. It was a late winter.
Yeah.
And then basically from Waynesboro, Virginia, until I got off the Appalachian Trail just south of Rutland, Vermont, it was consistent snowpack. All the way through the mid-Atlantic, Pennsylvania, I went over the halfway point. There was 3.5 feet of snow in Mishaw State Forest. It was gnarly.
What did you do for your footwear?
Ultras. I just use Lone Peak 3.5 like the whole time. I had some trail gaiters that I used just to keep the snow out of my socks. But on those super kind of cold and rainy, wet snow days where your feet are going to be saturated anyway, I was like, my feet are going to get wet regardless.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, am I comfortable for an hour in the morning or just don't carry the extra crap?
So what was the path you took? Like, obviously you did the AT first, but how did you,
I did Appalachian Trail January 31st, started, got up and over Stratton. I walked out of Stratton Pond Road to the 9 highway. It was unbelievable. I mean, I didn't have gut hook at the time. I was just using the AWOL guide. There was a 4.5 foot snowpack still. They had three Northeasters in a row.
Damn.
Like, I went up Glastonbury Fire Tower and I was like, from the bottom of the 9 there, I think the climb's 10 miles and it took me 11 hours. It was like less than a mile an hour to get up there.
Wow.
And I was like, this is going to be really difficult to achieve the miles you need if you continue. So I made the decision to get off trail on the Appalachian Trail. And then I flew to New Mexico. I took like a day to get myself. It's really difficult to get to the border on the CDT too. Like, I flew into Phoenix. I took a bus to Tucson, took another bus to Lordsburg. And then there's the shuttle, which you have to wait for the next day down to the border. So I started that trail April the 14th, I believe. And I hiked the first 1,300 miles to Creede, Colorado, before I got to just south of Highway 50, like Monarch Pass. And there was like five or six CDT hikers who were ahead of me, just camped out on BLM land outside of Salida because they're like, the snowpack is still 8 feet. Like,
wow.
It was a low snow year in the San Juans, but if you're in Colorado in early May, there's still a lot of snow.
Yeah, that's really
So I made the decision then. I'm like, I could do it. I could post hole through and I could probably get through, but I wouldn't make the miles I needed.
Right.
So then I flew from there. After the hitchhike of death, I flew from Denver to...
The hitchhike of death? You got to elaborate on that.
Yeah, like,
one.
You can't just say that.
Well, similar to what I did to get back from Creed this time, I just strung together 5 or 6 hitchhikes.
Uh-huh.
In the San Luis Valley, there's really not much down there as far as people, especially in the winter. So, a couple drunk driver hitchhikes. I was like, I really need a ride. I'm not going to say no,
beggars can't be choosers.
I'm really not going to say no, but you should stop drinking.
Right. Oh, they were drinking in the car.
Yeah. Just like open liquor in the car. I got in the car, it reeked, and I was like, this is a bad situation, but please drop me off where I need to go.
Yeah, I've been in a couple of those myself. Okay, so then you went over to the PCT?
Yeah, so then I stayed with Scout and Frodo, nicest people in the world, by the way. Like, the most generous I've ever seen in my life. Their backyard is a palace.
Mm-hmm.
Set up tents for like 50 hikers. And I was there the last day that they were actually giving shuttles to people. That worked out nicely. Yeah. It was like, I emailed on the fly, basically. I emailed Frodo saying, do you guys have space for one more person to come down to the terminus? Because I had originally a PCT permit northbound starting May the 8th. But because I got off the Appalachian Trail early, I got the PCT to amend my start date, because I guess it was one of the last days that people really start, like mid-May. You're not going to have 50 people starting a day.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty late.
So I started May the 14th, and I northbounded the whole PCT.
Sounds hot.
Yeah. It actually wasn't, surprisingly. No? The desert was like actually kind of cool. It got topped out at like 93, 94.
Damn, that's some good desert weather. Yeah. That's a lot cooler than what you faced, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, also, you must have gotten to Scout and Frodo's a few days after I did, because I, when I interviewed Frodo for that episode, it was a few days before their last day.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So we must have just missed each other.
Yeah.
So you did the PCT continuously.
Pretty much, yeah. I got off in South Lake Tahoe. I went home for a week for a wedding. I was a best man in one of my oldest friend's weddings, so I made the commitment before. Plus, it was kind of nice to see my family. I hadn't seen them in like 4 months.
Right.
Kind of take a week off, relax, let my feet heal after coming through the Sierra, which was pretty gnarly. Feet wet, started to crack really badly. So coming back to the trail, I was like super motivated, though. I was like feeling healthy, feeling good. So then, yeah, northbound of the rest of the PCT. And that was, with the 7 days off, it was an 87-day through hike. So it was really like 80 days of hiking.
Damn.
Got that one done. I finished that one August the 11th, I believe. And then I didn't know what I was going to do, whether I was going to southbound the CDT and then finish the AT at the last part of the year, the last 520 miles. But I kind of just wanted to worry about one weather window as opposed to two. And you never really know, like with Maine, like Baxter, like they can get horrible weather through the whites.
Yeah.
And there's really not many.
They did this year.
They
also.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. They got an early winter.
I saw Anisha's pictures like coming through and it looks really bad.
She had to take the low route because their winter came very early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I made the decision from the PCT to go back and finish the last 520 on the AT. So I actually got really lucky. I walked the miles back to Hart's Pass, and I got one hitch all the way to SeaTac. He dropped me off at the airport. So
that was
pretty big time.
Yeah.
And then I flew from there back to Bennington, hitched down to Rutland, and I got one of the lovely members of the Yellow Deli 12 Tribes to drive me basically to the spot that I walked out to the highway, and I finished the last 520 on the AT, and that was, I think, 92 days total. So that wasn't too bad. I mean, considering I came through a lot of snow.
Yeah, that's
I was
fast.
I was a little behind my schedule, maybe like 3 or 4 days, I thought. And then, but I finished.
So you had an itinerary.
In my mind, I did. Yeah. I knew that November 1st, as far as finishing, is really like, it's too late of a cutoff date anyway for the Rockies.
Right.
But I was like, you never know. It could be Thanksgiving. It could be October 1st. And this year was October 1st here when you guys got like your big first snowstorm.
Right.
So then from there, hitched out Millinocket to Maine, Portland, Maine, and flew to Kalispell directly. Kalispell to Whitefish, trained to East Glacier, and then some lady on her day off actually picked me up outside of East Glacier, drove me all the way to Chief Mountain Border Crossing.
Are you just soliciting hitches from the train station, or are you organizing?
The train station in East Glacier is like right beside the main town, so like it's they're right beside each other. So
you're not coordinating on Facebook or anything like
that? Oh, no. I was trying. I mean, the Continental Divide Trail website, the CDTC has like a list of trail angels as well as the Facebook group. So I did actually, on the way coming south, I actually tried to solicit as much as I could, because a lot of the businesses are closed this time of year. Like mid-October, you're going to go through a hostel. They're like, we've been closed since October 1st.
Right.
It's over. Like, what are you still doing out here?
Totally.
So, yeah, I got a ride up to Chief Mountain. And then started southbounding the CDT.
Nice.
And now it's done.
You finished at Creed?
Yeah. So, San Luis Peak, I walked the 10-mile road down into Creed, and that was it.
Did you take the lower route through a lot of Colorado? Because with how snowy the mountains were?
In some sections, I did. So when I got to the border, the first real big snowstorm this year came through as I was coming over Bridger Peak right before you hit Medicine Bow or Route National Forest at the Colorado border. So at Battle Pass is like 11,500 feet by the town of encampment, and you come down. So I had to take a lower road through Medicine Bow because it was 3 to 4 feet of heavy, fresh snow. And I had done it to get up and over Bridger Peak coming from like about 8,500 feet lower. And I couldn't do it. So I walked kind of a lower Forest Service road, a combination of them, down into Steamboat Springs. Got back on trail just outside of Steamboat, like the Rabbit Ears Range. I walked up to Parkview, which I don't know if you know Parkview Mountain.
I haven't been
there. It's really gnarly.
Yeah.
It's like a 3,700 foot climb up to almost 13,000 feet with like a tiny stone little building lookout.
Damn.
I got up to 12,500 and the wind was probably whipping 50.
Yeah.
With fresh snow, and I was like, okay, you got to bail again.
Yeah.
Like, so I went down, hiked a lower route across to Grand Lake.
And did you go back down to like a service road
at
this point?
Just as soon as I was like, this is a manageable amount of snow where I don't feel like I'm going to have frostbite and die.
Right.
I'll walk that.
Yeah.
So that was like Bowen Gulch close to Grand Lake, but right by Rocky Mountain National Park. And same thing. I left Grand Lake on the CDT. And Indian Peaks, Vasquez Peaks Wilderness, it's like between 12,000 and 14,300 feet. And it's like full of 14ers. So went up, did the same thing, got to 12,700 feet, came back down. So I basically, for that section, I walked a combination of lower elevation Forest Service roads and as much trail as I thought I physically could.
Yeah.
And then from Silverthorne, I took the Collegiate Peaks Byway around the Collegiate West Peaks. So basically like down through Buena Vista, Salida, and then I got back on trail at Monarch Pass and finished the rest of the trail on the actual CDT, which was pretty gnarly too, coming up from Monarch. Like Monarch through which you guys' favorite section, the Cochetopa Hills. And then until you get to La Garita, and then you have to climb up into the San Juans. Like San Luis Peak was 12,600 feet right south of the actual 14er. Having to traverse across like avalanche fields was pretty gnarly to finish it off.
Oof. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 29. I turned 29 in July.
And this is your first time doing really anything like this. Were your parents freaking out the entire time?
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Just your description of that Colorado section like made my palms sweaty.
Yeah.
Like, I have backpacking experience. That's crazy.
Yeah, my mom, she became accustomed to it and she started to rally actually at the end. But any of the videos I took where it was super sketchy, I like definitely wouldn't send them to her until I was through the section.
Yeah.
Like, this is hilarious.
Right.
What do you think of this? And she's like, you're an idiot. Like, what's the matter with you?
Yeah. I didn't tell my parents or my now wife about the mountain lion encounter on the PCT.
Yeah.
I talked about that a few episodes ago until after
with
the
Jabba,
trail.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just cause for that exact reason, like no reason to incite more panic than is already happening.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom would freak out when she would watch my videos and see like something that was like worrisome and it'd be like, well, mom, because the videos posted that already happened. It's in the past. Like,
yeah.
It's remedied now. Like,
no, cool. Everyone sleeps with a loaf of bread as a pillow.
It's totally normal.
When I heard that, when I listened to that podcast, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. Like, oh, and there was just a bear who hung out outside my tent until the morning.
It was terrifying.
So we did post on Instagram asking people to pose their questions for you. And the majority of them that came through, people were very, they were curious about your logistics because you did do so much jumping around. How much did you spend on flights? Because it seemed like you had to book all these at the last minute, right?
Yeah, which is actually, you actually can get some pretty good deals when you book flights last minute, especially if you take gnarly layovers.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've flown through Chicago Airport like six times this year.
Midway or O'Hare?
O'Hare.
Yeah. Good food there at least.
Yeah, pretty good food court.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely the logistics of it kind of added up and added a little bit to the tab of the total thing.
But yeah.
Me and Puma were actually talking about it earlier, and it's actually going to come out total to like about 15 grand, so $2 a mile, which is, I've heard of way worse through hikes.
In terms of like a per mile basis, yeah, it's usually way more, especially for a first through hike. Those tend to be the most expensive.
That's 15 grand American, by the way, so it's really like 20 grand Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Canadian dollars
in monopoly,
real money?
In monopoly money.
Yeah, I mean, that you just finished the adventure of a lifetime, like everything.
Yeah,
just
no, I mean, crazy. And similar to the other people who are attempting it this year, like Heather or Anish, sorry, she's had to jump around. We've basically been on the exact same schedule.
Yeah.
And there's two other people who I know, T-Rex and The Graduate, who are southbounding the Appalachian Trail right now, who basically did almost the same thing, except they started... did about 1,000 miles of the CDT, PCT, back down CDT, and now they're finishing.
Oh, so are there four people going for the calendar triple this year?
I think so, yeah.
Or four people, I guess, in line to finish the calendar triple.
Yeah, no, I think Anish still has to do Colorado and a bit of New Mexico,
right.
And T-Rex and The Graduate, I think, still have to do the rest of the Appalachian Trail from Vermont south.
Interesting. Have you been following them, Jones? T-Rex and The Graduate?
No.
I haven't even heard of this.
His Instagram is My Mountain is Waiting.
Okay. Maybe I have come across.
He takes some pretty cool videos.
Yeah, cool. I'll have to check that out.
And obviously, everyone knows Anish.
Yeah.
True hiker extraordinaire.
Yeah.
She gave me a really good shout out, actually. We actually didn't meet on trail, but she was super supportive and gave me a shout out on her Instagram. So,
yeah.
Props to her.
Anish is super nice. She's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to get into some of the little bit more of the nitty gritty about your hike here.
Yeah.
What was your biggest mile day?
57.
57.
Yeah.
Where was that?
That was in the Great Divide Basin. And yeah, 57 was the biggest one.
Yeah. Are you running at all through this?
No.
Or is it just doing 3.5?
I have pretty short legs, to be honest with you. So for me, it's just time hiked.
How tall are you?
5'10 with my heels on.
Yeah. That's Canadian inches.
Yeah. I don't know what it is in centimeters.
How about number of zeros? Did you say this already?
Yeah. Total... 11.
11.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's like how many zeros I took in the desert.
Yeah. And most of that was because you said you went back for a week and then like you lost time doing the transition between drills.
Yeah. Travel days, I didn't really count as zeros.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because a couple of them, I actually ended up hiking like 2 or 3 miles once I got back on trail. So I was like, whatever, it's a Nero.
Yeah.
Full 0 days was 11 though.
Cool.
And have you calculated your average hiking day? Like how many miles per day?
Yeah. Per trail on the CDT, it was 79 day through hike. So that was like 33.5.
Damn.
And then on the PCT, it was about 31 for like, I only hiked 81 days out of the 87 I was.
Did you miss any miles on either of those trails?
There was only one section, the Klamathon Fire. There was a 14 mile section from Ashland, Oregon up to the trailhead that was closed.
Yeah.
So I had a friend in town who gave us a ride up the 14
miles is not bad at all.
Yeah. We got really lucky with the PCT fires.
Yeah.
We were just ahead of them as the big ones are coming up, like Redding. And there was another one that was really bad too. Redding was a big one. And then there was a couple in Southern Oregon, which were bad as well. And then on the CDT, I had to walk some road, the Goldstone Fire on the Montana, Idaho border. I had to walk 93 miles of road, which was brutal.
Yeah.
And then there was another fire called the Juliet Fire in the Bob Marshall Wilderness, but they had an alternate around it. So I just, when I had to walk around, I tried to mimic the CDT miles as best as possible.
Yeah.
Like, just try and make them the same amount of miles because I didn't want anyone, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
we saw you on the road.
Yeah. I think
what are you doing out there? You should be on the trail. I'm like, there's a fire.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much unavoidable.
Yeah.
I don't
know if it's getting worse now since I've been paying attention to it, but it seems like since I've been paying attention, especially to the PCT, fires are an annual thing.
Yeah.
They were
really bad this year. I think a lot of people south of me had a lot of problems with smoke.
Yeah.
Like, well, I can't imagine, what walking through that on a consistent basis is like.
Yeah. And you said you ran into a legend?
I didn't actually run into Jeff.
Okay.
He was ahead of me, so he started, I guess, his Great Western Loop, and he was ahead of me on the PCT, but me and him have actually... He's given me a ton of advice this year, and he's been a really big resource for me, so we've kind of become friends over the internet.
Yeah.
Just through Instagram, but he's a really nice guy, and he's really helped me out, like, as far as... Because everything logistically, especially on the last trail, was on the fly for me, so, like, as far as resupply points on the CDT... You know, I was like, dude, can you send me where you resupplied? Like, where's the best place to do it that minimizes the time I have to spend in town? All that type of stuff. So he was really helpful to me in that regard.
I said this off air before we started recording, but he just celebrated his birthday on trail. And if you haven't seen it, on his Facebook page, The Free Outside, he just posted a picture of a Pop-Tart with candles on it. And it's the cutest thing.
Feel free to tap into that box.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
That one's empty.
I don't want you to move your cell phone.
Oh.
Actually, I actually met Jeff's dad at Timberline Lodge, who ended up giving me some beers, which was pretty cool. So shout out to Jeff Garmeyer.
Yeah, legend. That's why he got his name.
That's it.
He gets it from
his dad. His dad is also a legend.
Yeah.
Was solo hiking the Timberline Trail in 2 days at like 65. So
damn.
Legend senior and legend junior.
That's it.
Yeah. I like that. So you started the PCT, you said May 14th?
May 14th, yeah.
At what point did you hit the bubble?
right at KM. So I did the first 700 miles or 702 or whatever it is to KM in just under 3 weeks, like 18 days. And I got to Kennedy Meadows and there was at Grumpy's and the general store, there was probably 150 hikers.
Damn.
and everyone was just waiting for something to happen. And I got there and I was like, what?
They're waiting for you.
I'm like, what are you all still doing here? And like, oh, like there's a snowstorm expected. I'm like, you're going to have to walk through regardless. So I don't know what you guys are doing. So, yeah. And then I made the fatal error of thinking that the entire town of Kennedy Meadows isn't run on a generator. So I forgot that they turned that off at like 10 PM. So I like plugged my stuff in. I thought it was going to charge overnight. And I went into the Sierra with like half a phone battery and like one bar on my battery pack.
Damn. And you were using that to navigate, or do you have
apps? I was using Guthook.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
so were you hiking with people, or how did you get around that?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you're hiking fast enough.
I would turn my phone on maybe like once or twice a day just to check, like, as far as the passes, like to see the actual what it's supposed to look like, as opposed to what you hike up to get to the actual pass. Yeah. So I just tried to minimize my battery as much as possible.
How much snow did you see? Sorry to be dominating, Johnson.
No, that's okay. I need this.
I figured. How much snow did you see when you went through the Sierra?
There was a lot still. I mean, they had a pretty significant snowstorm in late March, which dumped, I think, between 18 inches and 2 feet in some spots, especially on the passes.
Damn.
But there were some pretty well kicked in footholds for me. I mean, I was doing two passes a day, so the second pass got real sloppy every day regardless. It was nice and crispy in the morning, but if you're going to do two passes, like, you're just walking through a river half the time.
Yeah.
It's like prime melt time, so.
Yeah.
King's Fork wasn't too bad, but Bear Creek and Evolution Creek were raging pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I took the alternate through, what's the Evolution? The Meadow?
I think pretty much.
There's like an alternate that everyone takes. There's like a sign that says, like, if it's above the like knee high, don't take Evolution Creek. So yeah. I took the Meadow through there.
Yeah. It was funny watching those videos, especially last year when it was horrific. People were dying.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. The videos of the northbound season and then us going through. Like,
and it's just dry.
It never got deeper than knee deep. Like, and it was pretty calm.
Yeah.
It's such a contrast.
What people submitted for the class video of that section. Like, the videos of people crossing those rivers was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've listened to you guys. I actually met your friend Ballflat, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I met him at Grafton Notch.
Aw.
He was coming down off of, I guess, what's old Speck Mountain there to Grafton Notch. And I was like, dude, you look really familiar. I know you. And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, I know. Like, I listen to the podcast, Chaunce. And he's like, oh, nice, man. It's cool.
Yeah, he messaged me a few times saying people saw him on the podcast.
Oh, that's funny. And he's coming back, you said, right?
Yep, he's going to be out here. He's going to work at Keystone for the winter and then do the CDT next summer and finish his triple.
I want so badly someone listening to this to bother him at Keystone.
I really do, too. Yeah. I'm going to bother him at Keystone.
Can't be us. That's cheating. So when you were going through this year, this is the bubble that you said that you kind of hit. Had the word spread about what you were attempting?
No, I mean, I had met a few people who recognized me just from posts off the Instagram. I think everyone kind of uses the same hashtag. So if, you know, you're on the explore function on Instagram when you're trying to kill some time, you're gonna end up seeing some people who are ahead or behind you.
Mm-hmm.
People thought I was crazy, though. Like, I did Whitney Forrester the same day. And I was going up Forrester Pass maybe 5:30. And there was maybe 12 or 13 people camped, like, waiting for the next morning. And they're like, are you going up there? I was like, yeah.
Like, I don't have waiting in my budget.
Did you have snow experience before this? Or was it just, like, learning on the fly?
Well, he's from Canada.
I mean, I am from Canada. But hiking at elevation in snow, I had zero experience.
So you, like, didn't previously know how to self-arrest or any of that stuff?
No, I didn't even bring an ice axe in, to be honest with you. I carried micros.
But you got around by dog sled your entire childhood, though, right?
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I just put it around their neck and kept running.
Like, picture him on a dog sled going across Forrester Pass.
We were going to see how many Canadian stereotypes we could fit in this episode. I think we've been sorely lacking.
Yeah, I would like to hear a few more at least.
So now that you've like done the three trails and honed in your gear and sent home the things you didn't need, what would you say your big three are? Like, your pack, your sleeping bag, and your tent?
So I've been using, since Grafton Notch, where I actually got gifted a Hyperlite Southwest 2400 pack.
Nice.
I've been using that, which has been awesome. I really like the pack. I think I never had a Cuban fiber backpack before. I always use a trash compactor bag, but it's nice to not have to use that.
Yeah.
It's just a really functional pack. So I've been using that for the last 500 miles of the AT plus another almost 2,000 years, so like 2,500 miles. And before that, I was using the Kumo. Gossberger, which I also really liked as well, but by the time I gave it up at Grafton Notch, it was beat up. Mm-hmm. And then for my tent, I used a Big Agnes Fly Creek one, pretty much the unanimous. If you're going to bring a freestanding tent on trail, it's like that or a copper spur.
Yeah.
If you're not in a couple.
Right. No, the Fly Creek is great. Have you used or seen the Tiger Wall?
It looks amazing.
It kind of combines the best elements of both of those tents. I still think the Fly Creek is a little bit lighter, so maybe still better for what you were doing.
Yeah. I mean, doing a somersault into my front vestibule tent every night was kind of hard. It got kind of tiring. Yeah. I call it the coffin because when you're in, it's like you can't really get out without it being a super pain in the ass.
Right.
And then... for my sleeping bag, I used a Katabatic Flex 22 the entire time as my down bag. Nice. And then on the AT, I used another synthetic bag over.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's what Twinkle said he used was the Flex as well. I know it's Katabatic. I'm almost positive it was the
Flex. They're amazing sleeping bags.
Yeah, it's a local company.
I know the from Lakewood, right?
Yeah.
From Palisade. I know Palisade was a popular one. Mm-hmm. And I think people just like go with the Enlighten equipment because that's like 2/3 of the price. But I hear a lot of people complain about the fill power of Enlighten equipment.
The Katabatic is much warmer. So I have both the 22 degree Katabatic, it's the AllSec, and the 20 degree Enlighten equipment. And the 22 degree is probably 10 degrees warmer, I'd say. They're both great. Yeah. Just when I advise people when they're going to do Enlighten equipment is to go 10 degrees warmer than what they think they need.
I sleep pretty warm. I think most guys sleep a lot warmer than women. So
yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of girls in the PCT who are using 0 degree bags.
That's what I use.
Meanwhile, I saw some people using like 40 degree who barely had like a sleeping bag liner.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous when someone tells me that. Like, I get almost angry. I'm like, how dare you?
Yeah. That's Jabo. Like, every time we interview him, he's pitting out. Like, he's just sweating.
Do you sleep really cold?
Yeah. Like, I freeze in a 0 degree.
Oh, wow.
Like, in the desert of the PCT, I thought I was going to die. I was so cold. it's not fair.
So you said you used ultras?
Yeah, I used pretty much Lone Peak 3.5s exclusively. I have pretty pancakey feet anyway. They just kind of like spread
That's from
out.
All the Iron Man training?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, it's from horrible jeans. Zero arches. So I actually took some getting used to with the zero drop, but once I got used to it, they're the best of both worlds. Having a wide foot box is pretty nice when your feet swell, especially when you're at elevation, to just like have a little bit of room in there to move left to right. So I use them. I really love them.
Uh-huh.
I tried on Solomons before and they're like way too thin for my feet, which I think a lot of people say. But.
Yeah.
I like them. They just take a while to break in, I think.
Yeah. From what I've heard, I think Solomons are a little bit more durable, but I've heard a lot more people say that they are more comfortable in the Ultras, the Lone Peaks.
Ultras really like, they dominate the trail now.
They're really good. I started trying them. They're so good.
Everyone uses them like pretty unanimously.
Yeah. I'd suggest giving the Timps a shot. Yeah. I use both.
Say Ultra too, right?
Also Ultra. Yeah. And they made that specifically because the fact that the Lone Peaks were picked up by thru hikers was kind of an accident. Mm-hmm. I think they got it out to a few prominent thru hikers like Lint, Anish, and it kind of spread from there. But it was mainly meant for trail running, and I think they made the Timps more specifically for thru hiking, which they haven't quite caught on yet. And the little bit that I've used, I haven't used them for long distance backpacking, but I find them to be even more comfortable than the Lone Peaks.
Yeah, it was like the Timps, the Superiors, and then I think Solomon does like an S-Work shoe. That was the only other one I really saw. And then it was like some of the old school people who actually had hiking boots. Mm-hmm. I felt bad for them.
Mm-hmm. So how many pairs did you go through on the trip or on the calendar? Yeah.
I think I'm on lucky pair 15 right now, which I'm currently wearing.
So how many
miles was I getting?
Not only that, but how many days was it? Like, were you switching like every month?
Pretty much. Yeah. Like even sometimes more, especially when they were getting wet. I mean, ultras are great, but everyone knows the problems with them. The toe cap always falls off.
Yeah.
And then the lining around the heel always rips.
Yeah.
So like if you're in water all the time and your feet are saturated, like they're just going to degrade at a much higher rate.
Yeah.
Whereas in the desert, like I think I wore one pair when I started the Pacific Crest Trail from there to Kennedy Meadows North, which is like 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
So I got 1,000 miles out of one pair, but I would also get like 400 miles out of another pair.
Yeah. Right. Especially like, going through Pennsylvania on the AT.
Oh my God. It was actually, I actually had a little bit of cushion because of how much snow there was on those little tiny rocks. Yeah. So it was more slipping.
Interesting.
For me.
That might be a slight advantage. Probably still slower, but in terms of just like chewing up your feet, maybe not quite as bad.
I mean,
you guys,
Pennsylvania is still gnarly.
Yeah, it's tough.
I've never seen hiking look easier on an elevation profile. Right. And then you climb a ridge and it's like, oh, I should be moving at 3.5 miles an hour.
Right.
And then it's like, it takes you 10 hours to walk 12 miles. Yeah. And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah. Pennsylvania is a trip. You're going
to
love it.
Have you fully committed yet to this AT 2019 through hike?
I think she did.
I keep going back and forth in my head, but right now it's leaning towards a yes.
Yeah. You'll love it. It's such a fun trail.
I know.
It is a very fun trail. So I think this is the last question that we've got, unless you've got anything else, but I'm curious, where do you go from here? I don't know. You finished yesterday, right?
The day before. Yeah. Pretty much like yesterday night.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you probably want nothing more than to just relax, like do some Netflix and chill, just like have some downtime.
Yeah.
But you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask what is next.
I mean, for me, seeing like the states that I've seen this way, like 22 states in all, I've seen like probably the coolest places the country has to offer as far as like backpacking and hiking is concerned. So with CDT especially, there's so many cool routes that are surrounding the CDT that I didn't have a chance to do based on my timeline. So I obviously want to come back to Colorado, you know, do like a ton of the 14ers, finish off the section that I had to walk road around. And then like Wind River High Route is a huge one for me. I'd love to do it. Sierra High Route. I'd like to do way more up in the PNW. There's like a bunch of cool loops around peaks up there. And then also down in the AT too, like, Linville Gorge, I see so many pictures of it. I want to go there. Hey Duke, AZT. I mean, it's endless once you come here and sure. You realize how many yeah. good hiking trails there are.
Yeah. So needless to say, you've got the backpacking itch now.
We were talking about this on the way over here, and it's like, it's impossible once you get that, the ability to just go out there and like spend an exorbitant amount of time like in nature. It's just going to be with you forever. It yep. just gives yeah. you a really nice feeling.
Yeah.
So yeah, fair to say, I have the backpacking itch.
Yeah. And the fact that you feel that way so fresh off of such a huge journey, it's going to hit you real hard. Because Chance and I were talking about this earlier this week, right after a thru hike, for me anyways, the last thing I want to think about is backpacking. Like, yeah. I just want yeah. some time to decompress and like gain back my normal life. And then 3 weeks later, you know.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I tried to appreciate it when I was in the moment, because I know like it was really hard, especially at the end when it was super cold and I was like really over it and my body was aching. I just wanted to finish, but I was like, man, just try and embrace it a little bit, because you know you're going to miss it. Like,
yeah.
I knew for sure as soon as I finished, I was like, you're going to miss it. Like, you're never going to have this type of freedom in your life again to just go after something like this. So just try and enjoy the best you can, and because work's going to suck.
what's your 9-to-5?
Sales, right?
You just I worked that? I worked in financial services in Canada for a bank for a long time.
Do you think it'll be going back to that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of up in the air. I mean, I think that I could easily go back and start living kind of the same life that I was before. I just don't know if I'm willing to do it, because yeah. I obviously wanted to go on a cool adventure to like get away from it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'd like to have like a situation where I have a little bit more balance in my life.
Yeah.
You could go the Puma route and work your ass off for 6 months and then disappear for a year and a half.
I was going to say, sales is kind of like a good off-season job, because if you really hustle with it, you can make a lot in the commissions.
Definitely. Definitely.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, like, the opportunity is there. It's just whether you're willing to give up, you know, your free time and,
yeah,
you know, a little bit of your sanity to make money.
Totally.
And, I mean, obviously, I need money. I'm almost tap broke, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20,000 Canadian dollars is a lot.
That's 15,000 American that's real
dollars.
That's
at least, yeah. real at least dollars. $10 US.
You gotta buy a lot of Monopoly games to pull out all that money.
Mike, thank you. Our kickstand, thank you so much for humoring us with these questions. Stick around. We're still doing more show here. As you're a listener, so you know what the format is from here on out. But I do need to do a little bit of Trek propaganda. This will be quick, because there's not much to say about it, and the title is just going to give away what the post is about. But it's 2018 Thru Hiker Transformation Photos. Actually, I want to get. Have you seen this post at all, Chance? We're gonna hear how amazing this post is through Chance's reactions.
Okay,
you're gonna scroll through. You're gonna have to scroll kind of quickly, because there's a lot of them. And if you're listening to this and you hike the trail this year, you haven't submitted your before and after photos, definitely do that. That includes you. Yours has got to be crazy, right? How much weight did you lose?
Wow.
I guess you were pretty fit going.
I probably dropped to 30 pounds though. I'm like,
damn.
I started around 178, and I'm probably like 150 now.
Damn.
So, and I'm skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are nuts.
Yeah. So this is great.
This guy's got a six pack.
Yeah. So definitely check out the post, because some of these are crazy. There's one guy that looks like he probably lost 75 pounds or so.
I love seeing these. I love when people like stage their beginning photo as like half of like a high five and their end photo of the other half.
Yeah.
This guy did that. That's really
clever. As just a completely different person.
Yeah.
So, and one thing I do want to touch upon with this, for the people that do go through massive transformations, it is worth noting that most people put the weight right back on typically, and like at three times the pace that they lost it.
They just I'm struggling with that right now.
Chauncey, I was going to say, because you've said this before, so I don't feel like I'm crossing a line, but you said that you lost a ton of weight on the trail.
Yeah.
But you kept most of that off, right?
I'm kind of back to where I was before I went on that pre-trail, I'm going to gain weight to preparation. I'm kind of like back at the standard Chauncey look.
But what's the weight difference between the day that you hit Campo and today? You don't have to give numbers.
I think I'm about 10 pounds heavier right now than I was when I hit between Campo, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When I hit Canada at my thinnest, I think I was about 10 pounds lighter than I am now. But muscle weighs more than fat.
No, I'm talking about your first day on the trail versus today.
I'm about 25 pounds lighter.
There you go. So what's the I guess your story is different, cuz you said you intentionally were gaining
weight. Right. I was like, "Oh, I'll prep for this by putting on weight."
Yeah. So there is a nutrition chapter in Appalachian Trials, not written by me. Two of the things that the nutritionist highlighted was eating a lot of protein and a lot of fiber after the trail, because those are the most satiating foods. Those are the things going to make you the most full. Because obviously,
Rich, you didn't tell me this.
You got to buy the book. Because, I mean, I imagine your appetite is ravenous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, but I'm still craving just shit food.
Yeah, because you're processing probably mostly carbs.
I think I listened to one of the episodes where you were like, when I came home from trail, I like tried to eat healthy food, and I was like disgusted by it.
It made me feel sick.
Yeah, like I don't want to say I crave norepesticides, but I think that I will probably still eat them at some point.
That's crazy.
And like, I still really like ramen.
When I came home, there was a resupply box that was meant for the Sierra that never got sent out. And like one night, like at night, I went down and I opened it, and I was like in my happy place, like eating all the shit in that box, just like shoving it in my face.
And also, same thing about the chocolate. Oh my God. I eat, when I go out to a resupply, like for the last maybe month, I was eating, packing out like 6 or 7 dairy milks.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
Yeah, fruit and
dairy milk is the best chocolate in the world.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, actually, I think I can pick it.
They have like a caramel one, the fruit and nut.
I was just in England.
They're having a moment right now.
Well, I wasn't just in England, but when I went to England last January, because it's made a little differently there than it is the way it's sold here, I bought like 15 bars of it and brought it home with me, and I put those in my resupply boxes.
Smart.
And when I'd get that on trail, I was like so happy.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I wanted to say about the transformation thing is like, it's very common for people to put the weight back on sometimes, even then some,
it's inevitable.
Yeah. Don't just take my word for it, but read up on this, because I think eating a high percentage of your macros, as protein, and getting a lot of fiber will do you a lot of good. And it's hard to stay active after you're done with the thru hike.
That's what I was about to say. It's impossible to maintain. Right. Like when you go back from a thru hike and you start a job again and you start working, it's impossible to maintain the same level of physical activity that you're doing on
trail. Literally impossible.
You're not
and based on that alone, you're going to not maintain the same body
unless
structure.
Unless you're like a park ranger or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're doing
like a professional athlete or something.
Right. Yeah. So it will be a challenge, but protein and fiber.
So basically you're saying that I'm going to get fat.
Yeah.
You might put on a couple pounds. You know, snooze will do that. But you lost 30 pounds and you said you were skinny to begin with. So
I just thought of something. We should do a transformation post like this one.
Yeah.
But it's the day you finish your thru hike compared to like 3 months after you finish your thru hike.
We actually had someone
So it's you going skinny
that.
To fat.
Yeah, right. That is unfortunately all too common.
We should make that post. I'll do that. That'll be my third blog post.
There you go. So you're at about one every year pace. Right
yeah, I'm really contributing.
Yeah, and for everyone's favorite segment now, actually, we haven't really gotten any feedback on this. I think it's our favorite segment, which is all that matters. The next edition of the Triple Crown of series, and today's is kind of apropos, especially for Chauncey, is the Triple Crown of hangover remedies. Chauncey, I got to give you credit. You're doing a much better job today than you were in Pierre's episode.
Well, I was drunk in that one. I'm hungover in this one.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
Yeah.
come up with a snake draft.
So yeah, that I'm going to give that to our guest. He gets to decide the order.
Okay, so I'm going to go first.
Smart man.
Yeah.
And then who?
Chance.
Okay, I guess I'm just always last.
We're just going to go clockwise.
I like the turn. I'll take it.
So all right.
I'm gonna lead off with, I think, a very good favorite.
Okay.
And that's when a family function gets canceled when you're hungover and you get to just relax.
Very obscure. I think you probably could have gotten that with the last pick. So that's the way you get over a hangover, is you just pray that a family reunion is that?
Yeah, it's like when you're anticipating having to do something when you're hungover, and then that thing evaporates, and you just get to relax. That's probably one of the
best
feelings.
Let's just round up
ever.
To say that plans get canceled, because I agree with you.
Sure, plans
that.
Get canceled.
I do too.
Let's do brunch, yeah. AKA I'm not showing up.
Right. How relieved would you have been if Mike said that he couldn't do the podcast
today? I was just about to say, like 10 minutes before I drove here, I was running around my living room yelling that I hated I had to come to this. I was like screaming. I was so upset.
Yeah. No, I can very much associate with that, especially if the function that you're going to doesn't have alcohol.
Yeah,
that was the peak of this one.
Yeah, good choice.
Well, my first one
obscure,
is
obscure, but I think obscure. Pretty valid.
I think when you round up to say just generally plans getting canceled,
yeah,
people can associate with that. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
My first one's actually kind of funny because you just mentioned when you're supposed to go to brunch and then you don't go. My first one is bottomless brunch. Nothing cures a hangover
specifically,
like continuing
mimosas?
To drink.
Daiquiris. Yeah.
Okay.
I hate Bloody Marys. I think they're disgusting. Mm.
Then where do you get your color from? I just assume that was tomato juice.
Well, you seem wrong. It's a secret.
I guess,
if I tell you, I'll have to kill you.
Okay.
Bottomless brunch.
Yeah. That's beyond hair of the dog. Because if you're going to bottomless, you're committing to a full day of just debauchery.
Yep.
Well, you've got a lot of Sufferfest beer here. It's
semi-bottomless.
Pretty good. Yeah. 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 Shout out to Sufferfest, who stocked, and I should give a shout out to where we're recording today. We're at Wayfinder in the Santa Fe district. You probably heard this if you listened to the show. And a thank you to Sufferfest for Infinity Beer, because there's a lot here. And how is it? I've been drinking the ciders the entire time.
The Sufferfest is delicious.
Delicious? Good.
We laughed because it says crafted to remove gluten on the can, and the logo is them holding a piece of wheat.
Yeah, a little ironic.
So, Chance, you did take mine. I'm gonna say that yours is just hair of the dog, because I think alcohol is probably the best.
It's science.
Yeah, it really is science.
It keeps the party going.
Yeah. This is cheating because I'm kind of like retroactively changing what the subject is, but I'm going to say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure, and say that coconut water. I know Chance and I had a conversation about this last night. I'll let you say what you said to me.
I think it's disgusting.
That's kind of what you said. For me, like a tall coconut water right before I go to bed, I've yet to find something that...
Pedialyte.
I haven't done the Pedialyte thing.
It tastes like aspartame, though. Just tastes like crap. But
right.
I'm a big coconut water guy.
Yeah, I like the natural component of it, but I've heard really good things about Pedialyte.
If it's good enough for babies who have diarrhea, it's good enough for me.
That's a quote right there. That's how we're going to lead the show. If it's good enough for babies who have diarrhea, it's good enough for me. Yeah, a large coconut water right before you pass out. You know, there's no magic bullet, but that's the closest I found. And since it's snake, I'm going to go, I have one that I think is better than my next best option, but no one's going to take it, so I'm going to save it for the end. I'm stuck between two. I'm going to take, I think, the low-hanging fruit here. I'm going to say backpacking / exercise.
What?
I really didn't get hungover.
Does not like that answer.
Yeah, I didn't get hungover at all on trail. Like there were mornings where the first couple hours were kind of groggy, but
yeah, once you start sweating it out,
you're a normal person by the time second breakfast rolls around.
But if you're not like mid through hike, like you never wake up hungover in your bed in town on a normal day, not through hiking, and think, I want to exercise right now.
That is also
like,
true.
I'd rather kill myself.
if you have to function, like i.e. record a podcast, I think the most impactful thing you could do is sweat it out.
Yeah,
specifically.
Get a quick sauna, maybe get a quick run in.
I can agree it might be good, but it's definitely not something that I would want to consider.
Yeah. Huh.
When you hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2011,
drink.
Did you walk hungover a lot?
You know, I wasn't huge into partying on the trail. Like I definitely drank pretty much every single time I was in a town, but it wasn't excessive. I would have a few beers, and I was more concerned with eating myself into an oblivion than drinking myself into
oblivion.
That's
the best feeling in the world.
Totally. And like, you just get so tired that like, it's hard to have the energy to drink
that
much.
To go out and drink beer.
Totally.
And stay up past like 10.
Right. I wasn't the stereotypical drunken AT hiker, like a few Yinglings, and that was, and bedtime was enough for me.
Yingling's pretty good, but I was a Rolling Rock guy on the AT.
Rolling Rock, Yingling. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yingling tastes like,
I mean,
piss.
any cheap
Yingling tastes like piss. That's interesting. I thought everyone liked Yingling.
No.
Maybe it's different when you grow up in a place where Yingling is not accessible. I'm from Illinois, and I don't think you can get it, probably.
It's an import.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, regionally, definitely so. You can't get it in Toronto, can you?
Yingling? Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think
it's
we only have blue. Labatt Blue, which I also, a guy who was hiking with before we went to the PCT got his girlfriend to send two bottles of blue to Stehekin. So
nice.
shout out to Augustine and his beautiful girlfriend. Thank you.
Are you a Canadian beer fan?
What is a Canadian beer?
Yeah, like we don't really, I mean, we have some good craft beers, but like nothing that you like write home about.
Uh-huh. Is
like,
there a stereotypical Canadian beer?
Yeah, Labatt Blue or Molson Canadian.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Molson has an ice beer too, right? Is there a Molson ice?
There's probably like 10 or 12 versions of a Molson. I think they go high as like 10%, like a Wildcat or something it's called.
Molson just killing the game.
That was like, what's that place in, was it on the PC? It is on the PCT where they give you the 40-ounce Cobra. By Truckee. What's the ski resort in Truckee?
North Pass Star, and then there's Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I had a buddy that lived in Truckee, so I didn't spend much time at the pass itself, you can buy beer at Donner Pass.
If you show up at the Donner Pass ski resort, they just they present you with your 40 of choice, and it's like Cobra or one other malt liquor.
God, I love Truckee.
Damn,
I actually thought Truckee. I want to go back there. It's so cool.
I'm beating a dead horse right now, but I worked right outside of Truckee, and we would do our days
Sierra
off.
City. Did you say when you
right next
there?
To Sierra City? Mm. Yeah, just up Highway 49. But we would go to Truckee on our days off, and like a good Truckee Thursday.
Oh, the
when they
lake
have
there?
Those events are so good.
Truckee's a good town.
It's
also
good Indian buffet.
Just a gorgeous area.
The pizza place too on the main strip.
Mm-hmm.
They have a pizza place there that's really good.
Okay, your turn. I took backpacking.
Yeah,
which you apparently didn't like.
My next one is someone bringing you food.
Yeah, that's
if you're hungover and you don't have to go get food and someone brings you food.
Yeah, very particular.
Yeah, also on my list, top of the list. I went obscure. I should have gone with that one because that should be the number one.
That was a segment of the one that you kind of hinted at earlier, which is probably why Chance took it. So does Uber Eats count or Postmates?
Sure.
I mean, yeah, but it's just nicer if you don't have to pay a delivery fee or anything.
Definitely.
Like this morning, my housemates went out to get food and I was going to have them bring me something back, but I had to be here.
Yeah.
But that would be like, you know, like clutch, like laying on the couch. You don't have to put in any effort whatsoever, and someone just brings you food.
That is really nice. I think that's nice especially in any circumstance, but especially when the idea of getting in, like driving your car, is filled with anxiety.
Yeah. Someone's like, "I'm at McDonald's. Do you want anything?"
Yeah.
You're gonna say yes.
Yeah.
That's just
everything
like
that you see in the dollar menu, please.
Pretty much. Can you give me the whole gamut?
Right. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, kickstand.
I'm gonna go with cold soda. A Canada Dry out of a can, specifically ginger ale.
Canada Dry, repping over here.
If anyone has ever drank a Canada Dry with ice in it, they know what I'm talking about. Especially when they're hungover and you get the little bubbles popping on you. It's pretty nice.
Is it all ginger ales or specifically Canada Dry?
No, Schweppes is trash. Okay. I'm talking Canada Dry, the good stuff. That's like when you go to a convenience store and they have Pepsi products instead of Coke, and you're like, I'm not that thirsty.
Right.
Strong opinions on beverages.
But Mountain Dew is in the Pepsi family, right? I think that's the highest. Mountain Dew tastes like trash.
Yeah,
although Code Red was fun back
then. The blue one's really nice. The one you can get at Taco Bell.
I'm a classic guy. Coca-Cola classic if I can find it.
Totally agree.
Canada Dry if they have it.
Yeah.
Nice.
And they also have Fanta now, which when I'm feeling a little frisky.
When I'm feeling frisky, I drink Fanta. That's got to go on a shirt.
Yeah. That'll be in our store.
In our fake store.
Yeah. And then you get to finish
off. I forgot that it's snake drafted. I have to do three.
You have to do another.
Should I go with the one that I was saying before?
We didn't even address the how apropos it is that we're doing the triple crown of, and this guy just did that in a year.
Oh, yeah. We're so fun.
How about this? When someone, I won't say what I was thinking, but when someone answers your DMs and you're hungover and they decide to come meet up with you, that's probably the
His third
thing.
One is sex. He just doesn't want
to
say
it's
it.
Just, it's just sex.
In case his mom's listening to the show, I get it.
Yeah, sorry, mom, but it's sex. you raised me right.
Yeah. So that gets rid of your hangover, huh? I should try it sometime.
That's half of working out.
Yeah.
That technically does qualify as working out.
I'm kind of stealing your thing.
True.
It's just like a shorter workout.
Yeah. Yeah, good 9 seconds and you're there.
Nine. Wow. That's a long time.
Endurance training.
I've been gone for 9 months.
Chauncey's purple right now. Sorry, Chauncey. We'll change the subject.
I'm judging you both. My last one, I had written these while I was like at the peak of my hangover this morning, which I think is fitting because that's exactly the things I wanted.
This was curtailed to you. If you don't win this, then you'll never win anything.
I'll say what I wrote down, but this isn't going to be my last one just because it's not true.
You got the honorable mentions.
But it's not even like, it's just like not true.
Okay.
I wrote down death. Oh my God. But that's not true.
Just take me now.
I'm like, death would be better than this. But that's not true. That's not what I want. My last one is not leaving bed for the day. That was the revised version of that. That's actually realistic.
To me, that's a defeatist mentality because like your hangover's not getting any better.
I forgot what that feels like.
Yeah.
Because I'm never not going to leave my tent.
Right.
It's like, you got to get up and walk. But I remember the feeling of being in bed being like, there is nothing that's going to take me out of this bed today.
And the ability to have that, like if I didn't have things to do today and I could just lay in bed all day.
That's kind of like getting a family function canceled, though.
Right.
I shot that down too quickly because I forgot what it's like to not work from home and just having a, like, if I want to just go lay in my bed for 30 minutes at any point, that option is available to me.
Yeah.
I forgot about the days where you actually have to go to an office for 40 to 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
That being
who wants
bed,
to do that?
It's not a good thing.
No.
Not to be avoided.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a pretty good one, actually.
That is a good one.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to take this one. And you said this earlier, and I kind of gave you a look. I didn't mean to, I wasn't trying to shoot daggers at you because I just didn't want you to take it. Sauna.
Yeah.
It's like the shortcut.
It's the ultimate.
Exercise.
Oh. Yeah.
It's just sweating
it
your ass
off. It is the ultimate shortcut. Yeah. You get to sit and sweat and feel better.
Literally 20 minutes in the sauna, you feel like a different person afterward.
Agreed.
I was a little bit upset that I didn't have a chance to sauna. Even I had two drinks last night and I was feeling a little bit, I'm to that age where sometimes, you know, you don't sleep well, two drinks can take you off your game.
Two drinks at Animal Years put me in a rough spot the morning after, so I feel you.
It was only two drinks?
A couple of doubles.
It was three. But I made you drink half of mine, remember?
Yeah, it was warm.
I like passed it to Zach and I was like, please drink this.
Sauna. Sauna is excellent.
It's a number one hangover.
Yeah.
It's up there.
As someone who's asthmatic, I can't sit in a sauna because it's too, I can't breathe. The air is really warm and I can't breathe.
Steam room too?
Yeah. Like I can't sit in one of those, even sober, for more than like a 30-second period.
Interesting.
I don't know how that feels.
If you go in there with like a little thing of ice water, it's pretty good.
Yeah, totally.
It just feels like I'm breathing through a straw. Like if you ever plug your nose and put a straw in your mouth and try to breathe through that, that's how being in a sauna feels for me.
I will say that when I first started getting into saunas, I could do at most 5 minutes. At most 5 minutes.
It's like cold tolerance. You got to work up to it.
Totally. Huh. I can now do 20. 20's...
20's a long time.
I've done 30 minutes once and that I literally felt like I was going to pass out at the end of it. I don't recommend it. I only did it because there was another person there and I knew if I passed out, I wouldn't die.
Get locked in the sauna and just shrivel to a prune.
Right.
It kind of also freaks me out though because you go to the sauna at the gym and it's like you're sitting in a sauna with everyone that has just worked out and you're like, oh, the sweat just like evaporates off me and it's like the air feels warm and wet and it's like I'm breathing in all this sweat that all these other people I don't know have just sweated off them.
And I go to 24
and that makes
fitness,
me want to vomit.
Which is not the nicest gym.
Right. Like that. The thought of that makes me want to puke.
Yeah, maybe not the most sanitary, but in terms of crushing hangovers, come on.
It's a do-gooder for sure.
I'll be in my bed. You go to the sauna.
Probably less unhealthy than McDonald's.
I don't know.
just
like dehydrating yourself to the point of like...
If you're
rehydrating,
I think
too.
You're working your lymphatic system, which is...
Helps cleansing you.
Yeah.
No, I'm a big sauna... I'm on your side here.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah,
we don't have to wrestle.
I'm anti-sauna.
You would win.
Yeah. Only because you're down 30 pounds and probably very tired.
And you wouldn't want to smell me.
So that concludes...
Honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Shout out to a cold glass of water. Ice cold glass of water.
Ice water was number one.
Yeah.
Was right
it's so
up
good.
There.
Totally. Especially like when you wake up in the middle of the night and your mouth is just
and there's a
raisin.
Cup already by your bed because you thought ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
that's
so nice.
That is foresight. Putting a cup beside your bed. Yeah.
I try to do that every night. Just leave a cup by my bed.
I didn't take this one. This is something that I've been using kind of recently. So I found this on Shark Tank. There's a company, they're called Thrive. It's literally a hangover pill. And I know you see this at every liquor store, the checkout line. They've got
it's just like amino acids or something?
So I can't get into the science of it. I'm not smart enough to speak to that. But I will say, based on the pitch I was sold, they had some proprietary thing that they had an intellectual patent on that was developed by MIT students.
If they're from MIT, it's got to be
legit. That was what sold me, too. And if they are just selling snake oil, it works for me from a placebo standpoint. But really, working as
on, I'm going to continue to buy, even if it's from a placebo.
Yeah, I think you can get it on Amazon. I'll include it in the show notes. But I have been using it, and I will say, it, again, there's no magic bullet, but this is pretty good. Like, I feel like I can notice a difference, especially as a 32-year-old guy where my hangovers are pretty brutal nowadays. It helps.
I will repeat myself. Rude that you didn't bring me one.
I'm actually out right
I'm
now.
I'm judging you.
I'm judging
our friendship.
You have to take it before you pass out. It wouldn't have done you any good.
Oh, like the night before?
Yeah, it's a prevention thing.
Oh.
And even better, I think you're supposed to take it like while you're drinking.
Hmm.
Huh.
So there's something, I guess the active component binds to the byproduct of alcohol. It's like when you metabolize alcohol, mm-hmm. it creates like a toxin in your system.
Yeah. And AKA you die.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And whatever ingredient is in the pill binds to that and
prevents it from happening.
Yeah.
That's so smart.
Yeah. Yeah. MIT. There it is.
I try and mix in water every once in a while, but it's real tough, especially when you get going on the gas. It's
when you get going on
that's why I had set.
It's really tough.
I had set Zach reminders last night where I was like, just text me and tell me to drink water. And Zach was texting me through the night, drink a glass of water, drink a glass of water.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. You're like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, that's too hard.
Ignore.
I'm going to sleep on a bench in Colfax.
That's the snooze for the alarm.
Oh, Dad's like, texting me again.
Okay, that concludes. Did you have any more honorable mentions?
No, you guys pretty much nailed it.
Yeah. Greasy food. I think we kind of touched on it.
Greasy food, Mickey D's.
Yeah, DM us if you think of anything we forgot.
Yeah, definitely let us know. Okay, to Chauncey's favorite part of the show. Do you want to take the review or should I?
Ooh, you can do it. I close my notes.
Okay. We're just going to do one. We're going to close out the show here. The title is Great Show by Q Leash, Lich, L-I-C-H-E. Have been listening to this for about a week and it's great. Did a 3-day backpacking trip in the Ouachita National Trail in Oklahoma/Arkansas and listened to most of the podcast episodes along the way. Love the trail reports and the day before leaving episodes. Love the banter. We should probably banter now to give them what they want.
Yeah, ha, Zach, you're so funny.
Thank you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
So you got your money's worth today, guys. And that's the only one we're going to do today because I got to get out to the mountains.
Keep leaving them so we can keep reading them.
Yes.
They make my day.
They're pretty funny, actually. When I listen to the show and I see the 5-star reviews, some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah.
The person that came up with all the different...
Pepper Capel, Cinnamon Connection, Cumin Cult,
exactly.
Saffron Squad.
The Cumin Cult?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
There's some really good ones.
The alliteration of our listeners is
which also, you should see our Instagram on Halloween that we'll post of our Halloween costume we did.
We didn't even mention the fact that we are dressed like assholes, both of us, right now. What is your costume?
Well, it was couples night last night where we were all going to do couples costume, and I couldn't do that anymore. So I went to Goodwill, and I bought a $3 apron, and I was just like, I'm a baker. But I didn't take it off, and neither did you. We're both here recording in our costumes from last night.
I am wearing my wife's tights.
I'm in my hiking costume.
Please leave us your reviews on iTunes. If it's 5 stars, we might read it. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. That's the way that you ensure that you don't miss, or subscribe to us on whatever platform you're using.
All of them.
If you want to reach out to us in a more intimate way, you can send us an email at podcast@thetrek.co. You can follow us on social at Backpacker Radio on Instagram, at Backpacker Pod on Twitter, and Facebook.com/Backpacker Radio. You can follow Chaunce.
Ooh, you can follow me on Instagram @Juliana_Chauncey, on YouTube @JulianaChauncey, and at Facebook @ChaunceLikes.
Kickstand?
Just my name. It's just, I only really use Instagram. It's just Mike @MikePapadatos. PapaDatos.
And we'll definitely include that in the show notes in case you didn't follow that. If you want to see pictures of my lab/German Shepherd mix, you can follow me on Instagram @ZRDavis and same for Twitter.
Zach loves Twitter.
I'm a Twitter fan.
We're
going to say that in every episode. I consume a lot. I find Twitter to be my favorite consumption platform.
That's how I get my news too.
Yeah, Twitter's great. If you want to support the show, you can do so through patreon.com/backpackerradio. If you're a business out there, you want to get the word out about your cool products, reach out to us at podcast@thetrek.co. And that's it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Happy hiking.
Bye.